Chapter 20. If you'd been Lady Angelina, my dear gal, apostrophe says I would have married you. And why don't I? Because my duty prevents me. I'm a martyr to duty, and you, my poor gal, must console yourself with that idiot. Apostrophe apostrophe, there seemed to be a conspiracy too, between that silver top and Lady Angelina, to drive me to the same pint. What a plucky fellow you were, Plutch, apostrophe says he was rather more familiar than I liked, in your fight with Fitzwarren, to engage a man of twice your strength and science, though you were sure to be beaten. This is an atrocious falsehood. I should have finished Fitz in 10 minutes, for the sake of poor Mary Ann. That's a generous fellow. I like to see a man risen to eminence like you, having his heart in the right place. When is to be the marriage, my boy? Apostrophe, Captain S apostrophe apostrophe says I, my marriage concerns your most humble servant a precious sight more than you. Apostrophe and I gave him to understand I didn't want him to put in his oar I wasn't afraid of his whiskers. I promise you, Captain as he was. I'm a British lion, I am as brave as Bonaparte, Hannibal, or Oliver Cromwell, and would face bagnets as well as any evil dragoon of them all. Lady Angelina too, expostulated in her artful way. Apostrophe Mr. de la Plutch, says she, why press this point? You can't suppose that you will be happy with a person like me? Apostrophe apostrophe, I adore you, charming gal. Apostrophe apostrophe says one. Never go to say any such thing. Apostrophe apostrophe, you adored Mary Ann first, apostrophe answers her ladyship. You can't keep your eyes off her now. If any man courts her, you grow so jealous that you begin beating him. You will break the girl's heart if you don't marry her, and perhaps someone else's, but you don't mind that. Apostrophe apostrophe, break yours, you adorable creature. I die first. And as for Mary Ann, she will get over it. People's hearts ain't broken so easy. Once for all, circumstances is changed betwixt me and her. It's a pang to part with her, says I, my fine eyes filling with tears, but part from her I must. Apostrophe apostrophe, it was curious to remark about that singular gal, Lady Angelina, that melancholy as she was when she was talking to me, and ever so dismal, yet she kept on laughing every minute like the juice and all. What a sacrifice! Apostrophe apostrophe says she, it's like Napoleon giving up Josephine. What anguish it must cause to your susceptible heart. Apostrophe, it does, apostrophe says I Annie's. Apostrophe, another laugh. And if I don't accept you, you will invade the states of the Emperor, my papa, and I am to be made the sacrifice, and the occasion of peace between you. Apostrophe apostrophe, I don't know what you're alluding to about Josephine and Emperor's your pa's, but I know that your pa's estate is over he'd and years mortgaged, that if someone don't help him, he's no better than an old pauper, that he owes me a lot of money, and that I'm the man that can sell him up hoss and foot, or set him up a gen. That's what I know, Lady Angelina, apostrophe says I, with a hair as much as to say, put that in your ladyship's pipe and smoke it. Apostrophe apostrophe, and so I left her, and next day a certain fashionable paper announced marriage in high life. We hear that a matrimonial union is on the tapis between a gentleman who has made a colossal fortune in the railway world, and the only daughter of a noble earl, whose estates are situated in deedless X. An early day is fixed for this interesting event. Apostrophe, contrary to my expectations, but when or how can we reckon upon the feelings of women? Mary Ann didn't seem to be much affected by the idea of my marriage with Angelina. I was rather disappointed perhaps that the fickle young gal reconciled herself so easy to give me up, for we gents are creatures of vanity after all, as well as those of the opposite sex, and betwixt you and me there was moments when I almost wished that I'd been born a Mohammed or Turk, when the lore would have permitted me to marry both these sweet things, whereas I was now condemned to be happy with anyone. Meanwhile, everything went on very agreeable betwixt me and my defiant bride. When we came back to town, I commissioned Mr. Showery the Great Auctioneer to look out for a town washing suitable for a gent of my quality. I got from the Herald office, not the Morning Herald, no, I'm not such a mo, as to go there for accurate information, an account of my family, my arms and pedigree. I h ordered in long hasser, three splendid equipages, on which my arms and my adored wife's was drawn and quartered. And I got portraits of me and her painted by the celebrated Mr. Shaloon, being resolved to be the gentleman in all things, and knowing that my character as a man of fashion wasn't complete, unless I sat to that distinguished artist. My likeness I presented to Angelina. It's not considered flattering, and though she parted with it, as you will hear, mighty willingly, there's one young lady 1,000 times handsomer that values it as the apple of her eye. Would any man believe that this picture was sold at my sale for about 1/25th part of what it cost me? It was bought in by Marahan, though. Oh dear James, apostrophe says she, often kissing of it, and pressing it to her heart, it isn't handsome enough for you, and hasn't got your angelic smile, and the expression of your dear eyes. Apostrophe, Angelina's picture was kindly presented to me by Countess B, her mama, though of course I paid for it. It was engraved for the Book of Booty the same year. With such a profusion of ringlets I should scarcely have known her, but the hands, feet, and eyes, was very like. She was painted in a guitar supposed to be singing one of my little melodies, and her brother Southdown, who is one of the New England poets, wrote the following stanzas about her. Eyes upon my sister's portrait. Why the Lord Southdown? The castle towers of Barrisers are fair upon the lee, where the cliffs of Bonny Didlisex rise up from out the sea. I stood upon the dungeon keep and viewed the country o'er. I saw the lands of Barrisers for 50 miles or more. I stood upon the dungeon keep, it is a sacred place, where floated for 800 years the banner of my race. Argent, a Dexter Sinople, and ghouls an azure field, there ne'er was nobler cognizance on knightly warrior's shield. The first time England saw the shield was round a Norman neck, on board a ship from Valerie, King William was on deck. A Norman lance the colors wore, in Hastings' fatal fray St. Willibald for Barrisers. 'Twas double ghouls that day. Oh heaven and sweet St. Willibald! In many a battle since, a loyal-hearted Barrisers has ridden by his prince. At Acre with Plantagenet, with Edward at Poitiers, the pennon of the Barrisers was foremost on the spears. 'Twas pleasant in the battle shock to hear our war cry ringing. Oh grant me, sweet St. Willibald, to listen to such singing. 300 steel-clad gentlemen, we drove the foe before us, and 30 score of British bows kept twanging to the chorus. Oh knights, my noble ancestors! And shall I never hear St. Willibald for Barrisers through battle ringing clear? I'd cut me off this strong right hand a single hour to ride, and strike a blow for Barrisers, my fathers, at your side. Dash down, yon mandolin, beloved sister mine. Those blushing lips may never sing the glories of our line. Our ancient castles echo to the clumsy feet of churls, the spinning jenny houses in the mansion of our earls. Sing not, my angeline. In days so base and vile, 'twere sinful to be happy, 'twere sacrilege to smile. I'll hie me to my lonely hall, and by its cheerless hob I'll muse on other days, and wish I were a snob. All young England, I'm told, considers the poem beautiful. They're always writing about battle axes and chivalry, these young chaps. But the idea of Southdown in a suit of armor, and his cutting off his strong right hand, apostrophe is rather too good. The feller is about 5 feet high, as rickety as a babby, with a waist like a gal. And though he may have the art and courage of a Bengal tiger, I'd back my smallest cab boy to lick him, that is, if I had a cab boy. But my cab days is over. Be still my anizing art. I now am about to unfold the dark pages of the history of my life. My friends, you've seen me ITHER 2 in the full carrier of Thornton, prosperous but not ever proud of my prosperity, not dizzy though mounted on the apex of good luck feasting all the great like the good old English gent in the song, which he has been my model and example through life, but not forgetting the small no, my behavior to my grandmother at healing shows that. I bought her a new donkey cart, what the French call a carte blanche, and a handsome set of pecs for hanging up her linen, and treated Uncle Bill to a new suit of clothes, which he ordered in St. James Street, much to the astonishment of my snider there, namely an olive green velveteen jacket and smalkless, and a crimson plush waistcoat with gloss buttons. These pints of generosity in my disposition I never should have alluded to, but to show that I am naturally of a noble sort, and have that kind of gallant carriage which is equal to either good or bad fording. What was the substance of my last chapter? And that everything was prepared for my marriage, the consent of the parents of my Angelina was gained, the lovely gal herself was ready, as I thought, to be led to Hyman's altar, the trousseau was H-ordered, the wedding dresses were being fitted on a wedding weighing half a ton was a jetting ready by Messrs. Gunter of Buckley Square. There was such an account for Chantilly, and Honiton laces as would have staggered anybody. I know they did the commissioner, when I came up for my certificate, and as for Inger shawls I bought a dozen such fine ones as never was given away, no, not by his innocent engine Prince Juggernaut Tiger. The jewels, a pearl and diamond shoot, were from the establishment of Miser's Store and Mortimer. The honeymoon I intended to pass in a continental excursion, and was in treaty for the house at Albert Gate opposite Mr. Hudson's, as my town house. I waited to conclude the purchase until the share market which was rather depressed owing, I think, not so much to the attacks of the miserable times, as to the prodigious flams of the Morning Herald, was restored to its healthy tone. I wasn't going to part with scrip which was 20 premium at 2 or 3. And being confident that the market would rally, had bought very largely for the two or three new accounts. This will explain to those unfortunate tradesmen, to whom I gave orders for a large extent how it was that I couldn't pay their accounts. I am the soul of owner, but no gent can pay when he has no money. It's not my fault, if that old screw Lady Barrister's cabbaged 300 yards of lace, and kept back 4 of the biggest diamonds, and 7 of the largest Inger shawls. It's not my fault, if the tradespeople didn't get their goods back, and that Lady B declared they were lost. I began the world afresh with the clothes on my back, and 13 and 6 in money, concealing nothing, giving up the very thing, one stand undismayed, and though beat, with pluck in me still, and ready to begin a gin. Well, it was the day before that appointed for my anium. The rigged of steamer was lying at Dover ready to carry us off. The bridal apartments had been H-ordered at Salt Hill, and subsequently at Ballon-sur-Mer the very tablecloth was laid for the wedding breakfast in Hill Street, and the bride's right reverend uncle, the Lord Bishop of Bullocksmithy, had arrived to celebrate our anium. All the papers were full of it. Crowds of the fashionable world went to see the trousseau, and admire the carriages in Longacre. Our traveling chariot, light blue lined with pink satin, and vermilion and gold wheels, was admiration of all for quiet elegance. We were to travel only 4 viz. Me, my lady, my valley, and Mary Ann as femme de chambre to my Angelina. Far from opusing our match, this worthy gal had quite given into it of late, and Lawton joked, and ended our plans for the future exceedingly. I'd left my lovely bride very gay the night, before having a multitude of business on, and stockbrokers and bankers' accounts to settle, etc., etc. It was late, before I got these in order. My sleep was feverish, as most men's is when they are going to be married, or to be hanged. I took my chocolate in bed about 1. Tried on my wedding clothes, and found as that they became me exceedingly. One thing disturbed my mind, 2 wests had been sent home. A blush white satin and gold, and a canary colored tabinet embroidered in silver. Which should I wear on the auspicious day? This agitated and perplexed me a good deal. I determined to go down to Hill Street and consult the lady whose wishes were henceforth to be my alanal, and wear whichever she fixed on. There was a great bustle and disturbance in the hall in Hill Street, which I attributed to the approaching event. The old porter stared me as uncommon. When I came in, the footman who was to announce me laughed. I thought I was going upstairs. Her ladyship's not at home, apostrophe says the man, and my lady's ill in bed. Apostrophe, get lunch, apostrophe says I. I'll wait till Lady Angelina returns. Apostrophe, at this the feller looks at me for a moment with his cheeks blown out like a bladder, and then busts out in a reglar guffaw. The porter joined in it, the impudent old rascal. And Thomas says, slapping his hand on his thigh, without the least respect I say, Huffy, old boy, isn't this a good un? Apostrophe, what dear me in, you infernal scoundrel, apostrophe says I, hollering and laughing at me. Apostrophe, oh, here's Miss Mary Ann coming up, apostrophe says Thomas, ask her. And indeed there came my little Mary Ann tripping down the stairs, her andess in her pockets, and when she saw me, she began to blush, and look odd, and then to grin too. In the name of imprudence, apostrophe says I, rushing on Thomas, and collaring him fit to throttle him, no rascal of a flunky shall insult me, apostrophe, and I sent him staggering up against the porter, and both of them into the hall chair with a flop. When Mary Ann, jumping down, says, oh James, oh Mr. Plush, read this is, and she pulled out a billy do. I recognized the handwriting of Angelina. Desiatful Angelina's billy ran as follows. I had all along hoped that you would have relinquished pretensions which you must have seen were so disagreeable to me, and have spared me the painful necessity of the step which I am compelled to take. For a long time I could not believe my parents were serious in wishing to sacrifice me, but have in vain entreated them to spare me. I cannot undergo the shame and misery of a union with you. To the very last hour I remonstrated in vain, and only now anticipate by a few hours my departure from a home from which they themselves were about to expel me. When you receive this, I shall be united to the person to whom, as you are aware, my heart was given long ago. My parents are already informed of the step I have taken, and I have my own honor to consult, even before their benefit. They will forgive me, I hope and feel, before long. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.